Paul was the one that Christ revealed several hidden mysteries, not just not all the mysteries in the Bible were revealed to Paul. There were some mysteries of the kingdom, but we're talking about the body of Christ mysteries, and they were only revealed to Paul. But if you try to mix together those new and different mystery revelations that Christ gave Paul, mix those with those long given prophetic information in Matthew, Luke, Revelation, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and other prophecies, confusion permeates that mixed up doctrine. You don't mix them. Keep them separate as the Bible does and says to do. Unless you keep God's teachings to various groups separate from each other, you end up with a mixture that is not from God. And God doesn't treat Israel the same way as he treats the body of Christ, with in various several, I should say, categories, you know, destination, the gospel. The type of blessings they get is different than the type of blessings we get. Ours are all spiritual. We can't pray for a new Mercedes or whatever. We can, but we're not told that he will answer us positively. But to try and, it just results in mass confusion when what was spoken to Israel is usurped and unrightfully seized to apply it to the body of Christ, or the other way around. So when studying in the Bible about angels, we're going to talk about grace believers today don't need any angels. Grace believers today need no angels. When the body of Christ, well, let's start at the start with the Bible. When studying the Bible about angels, you find angels throughout Israel's history, from Genesis through Acts, and in Hebrews through Revelation, you find angels. However, shortly after Christ revealed to unforgivable Saul of Tarsus salvation available to all sinners, without regard to covenants or anything, God blinded and cast away apostate Israel. So Israel's way to God was eliminated. The only way remaining to come to God was the way in which Saul of Tarsus came to God. Saul of Tarsus, called Paul, was the chief sinner, the chief of the sinners, all of us are sinners. He was the first in line, though, as a sinner, the first one saved as a sinner. Without trying to prop up himself as being good enough by the law or by blessing Israel or by any other means. We have to follow Paul to Christ. Not that Paul is God or that he atoned for our sins or anything like that. He came as a sinner. We have to come as a sinner. He was saved as a sinner, trusting in the blood of Christ to save him, to have been full payment for all his sins that he'll ever commit. And that's how we have to come. We can only come to God as sinners too. 1 Corinthians 11:1, and I failed to ask someone to post verses, but they're on the website, and I'll try to call them out if somebody can post them. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." We follow Christ in a new way. It's a new way that God designed for Paul of Tarsus, for him to follow Christ. On the road to Damascus, as he said in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that he received that gospel. He received it. He didn't just believe that it was a fact. He received it for his condition, his needy condition. Saul of Tarsus could not have been saved into Israel's kingdom. He was out there a man without a country, so to speak. He didn't have any right to be part of Israel. He was a blasphemer, and he had spoken against the Holy Ghost when he stoned Stephen. So because Paul had committed this unforgivable sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost by stoning Holy Ghost-filled Stephen in Acts 7, he couldn't be saved into Israel's kingdom. Now, at this present time, Israel is still temporarily blinded, and they are cast away temporarily. Those are all actual historic and scripturally documented events. Israel fell in Acts 7, verse 59. Israel was blinded in part in Acts 20 when Paul wrote Romans 11, 25. Israel was blinded and cast away in the last half chapter of Acts. Israel is still in that condition right now. And they will be. For a while, anyway. Romans 11, 25 tells us, when the fullness of the Gentiles become into what God is bringing believers into today, Israel's blindness will be lifted. So after God blinded Israel, Paul's epistles reveal a noticeable absence of angels. Why are they not there? As does the dispensation of the grace of God, only written about by Paul. So during the dispensation of the grace of God, you don't find angels assisting or ministering to believers today. Excuse me just a minute, please. Strong's Concordance lists the primary meanings of the word for angel as bringing good tidings, or to bring good tidings. Secondarily, as a messenger or as an angel. And that definition shows that angels served as messengers. Additionally, the Bible reveals that angels have another function, that of being ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. Well, look at Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Hebrews is to the Hebrews. It's a prophetic book, not a mystery book that was revealed to Paul. This verse identifies those with whom angels are involved as being Israelites, as being the nation Israel. That's who they were sent to. We're not waiting for some future time when we shall be heirs of salvation. That's Israel's function. That's their position. They're waiting and waiting, centuries waiting. There's a great forsaking that's gone on in their land. They don't have access to God, special access to God. They only have the access that we have, and they don't accept that. So they're cut off. Peter preached to Israel that their sins would be blotted out when Jesus Christ returns to earth. Likewise, we're not enduring to the end, to in the end be saved at Christ's return, like Israel is. Notice these differences spoken by the Holy Ghost inspired Peter. He was inspired by the Holy Ghost. He was one of Israel's 12 apostles, and he was speaking only to the Jews at Israel's Pentecost feast here in Acts 2 and 3. Peter was not speaking to any Gentiles. Gentiles, it was not to us. Gentiles were not allowed in the temple where the feast was. Peter says to that all-Jew audience in Acts 3, 19 to 21, he says, "Repent ye," not you listening to this, but ye Jews in the temple, "repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." They had just murdered their Messiah. They had demanded that he be crucified. They said, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." That was their sins that Peter is preaching about. They had done all that, and they were in apostasy. They did not receive him. He came and showed the signs of the kingdom, healing the sick. He even raised the dead in front of them. And yet they were in an apostate condition. They just rejected it the more. So apostasy is a sin. But Peter told them that those sins could be blotted out. But he says when they would be blotted out. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until what he had just said there, repent and be converted, until the times of restitution of all things. He told them two ways Christ would come back, and they're the same thing. If they had repented and converted, every one of them, Christ would have returned, and that would have been the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. It's not that secret body of information only revealed to Paul. Excuse me, please. Yes, they said, give us Barabbas, not Christ. Crucify that Christ, they said. So, the Lord would send back Jesus Christ if they had all repented and been converted. When it talks about conversion in the Bible, it's talking about converting from apostate Jew to believing Jew, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the risen Son of God. Their sins would have been blotted out when Christ, was sent back. It depended on all Israel receiving their Messiah, which they failed to do, obviously. But we in the body of Christ do not have to wait to the end, trying to endure to the end through a fiery trial of our faith. That's all for Israel. That was all written in Israel's scriptures and their tribulation epistles at the end of the Bible. It was only preached to Israel. We in the body of Christ are already heirs of God, according to Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness. Our spirit bears witness, and the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So take notice, it says we are. The we is the body of Christ, but the verb continues into the following clause, and if children, then we are heirs. We are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. So we believers on Christ, believing that he died for our sins, we have now received the atonement. Romans 5:11 tells us, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. It's not something we have to try and work toward. It's not something we have to wait for. We have now received the atonement. So it was Israel that had to wait for it. They were placed under different conditions. We are not Israel. Similar to the angels being placed under different conditions than we are. There is no redemption for angels. They're a different category, a different group. We have already We have the redemption. We have the atonement in Christ. There are differences. We need to consider those differences in God's Word. We who have received Christ's salvation are now saved, according to, in Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 8 and 9, it tells us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. That means made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Again, not waiting to be saved. Currently, once you have believed, you are saved. That's present tense. That means that today's believers are now saved upon belief. Do not think you have to wait for your salvation. That would not be trusting that Christ is saving believers now, as he said he would. For by grace are you saved through faith. By grace are. That are is present tense. And it's a condition that we now have. Not by grace will you be saved. It says by grace are you saved. Through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You can't mess it up, in other words. He did it all, it's completed. You just have to receive it like Paul did. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can behave well enough to be saved. Well, can you? I can't. But your behavior, your deportment is a different realm. It's nothing to do with salvation anymore. That law that was given through Moses was to show that that no one is good enough for God, that we have to come to him as sinners. If you were good enough for God, you wouldn't need salvation. You would already be as pure as God is, and that's what is required. That's what we do not have. We need his salvation, including both forgiveness of our sins and having the very righteousness of God imputed to us, credited to our account, and being quickened. So forgiven, made righteous, and made alive, quickened. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't fix yourself. So the angels functioning of ministering for them who shall be heirs of salvation, that refers strictly to those of Israel who have not yet received their atonement until Christ returns to blot out their sins and to open up that fountain in Zechariah 13:1. It does not refer to those who already have believed the gospel of Christ preached by Paul, that Christ was crucified for our sins, buried, and raised again for our justification. Our sins are already died for. Believe it. Be saved. At that point, the believer becomes part of or comes into the body of Christ. And that's by the means we read earlier. out of timing, but here it is again in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Pardon me. It tells us the one Holy Spirit baptizes us into the one body. The Holy Spirit does the baptizing into the body of Christ. This is quite different than the baptism through which Israel goes, where the resurrected, ascended Jesus Christ, and I don't have the verse here, but that's we could see Acts 2:33. As he has already ascended to heaven after his resurrection, he sheds forth the Holy Ghost from heaven onto Israel, Israel's church, not our church. That's the difference. The church of God in Jerusalem was a different church. It was the church of Matthew 16, and it was added to in Acts 2:47. Well, Acts 2 before then, but it's told about in Acts 2:47. We see in verse 33 of that chapter, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and have... pardon me. Excuse me just a minute. Therefore, being by the right hand... This is talking about Jesus Christ. He had ascended to the right hand of Jesus Christ, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So that's the explanation for the tongues and the Holy Spirit being given to those 12 apostles there in Acts 2, before it was given to the whole group in Acts 4:31. So the church, the body of Christ, is a different church. The body of Christ did not start until Paul was saved, and that wasn't until Acts 9. After, it would be about a year after the goings on there at the Pentecost feast after the Lord's resurrection and ascension back to heaven. Paul said he was the first one into the body of Christ. Well, he said he was in me first. He said he was the pattern that we should follow hereafter, Paul. He said he was the chief of sinners, the first one saved as a sinner. Paul, his salvation was the pattern for us who believe this newly revealed gospel. For salvation, we are not to believe Israel's gospel about some, not some kingdom, but the promised kingdom coming out of heaven to reign on earth, and that it is at hand, which is what the gospel of the kingdom was during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was at hand. It was within their grasp. All they had to do was believe that Jesus was the Messiah and that he rose from the dead when he rose. Our gospel is not a national gospel like Israel's was. It's an individual gospel of salvation. Our gospel is about believing that Jesus Christ has already paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. Well, because of that, angels are absent from functioning throughout Paul's epistles. You don't see them. They have to do with Israel, not with the body of Christ. Pardon me. The other thing to remember is that angels have no function as messengers to us in the body of Christ, since God gave Paul the ministry to fulfill the word of God. Look at Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Well, to fulfill means to fill it up. God has already said in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given. It's filled up now. Therefore, angels are absent from functioning in Paul's epistles and in the body of Christ today. That means both of the functions of angels relate only to Israel and no longer, well, not at all, to the body of Christ. There are some other scriptures which confirm this. Look at Daniel 12:1. Regarding angels assisting Israel and the children of Jacob. Excuse me a minute. Daniel 12:1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So that book has to do with Israel being delivered in tribulation. Here we see that Michael is named as an angel who standeth for the children of thy people. Angels have to do with Israel. Daniel's people was Israel. Additionally, in this verse, we see that Michael is the archangel. And in this verse that follows, in Jude 1:9, we see, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, and durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. We've seen that angels, and particularly Michael, the archangel, are associated with Israel and not with the body of Christ. Therefore, we can see that there is something strange and unexpected about the archangel coming back with Christ at his appearing. When Christ comes back to catch up the body of Christ in the air. Don't miss that. The angel comes back with him. Let me repeat it. We can see that there is something strange and unexpected about the archangel coming back with Christ at Christ's appearing to catch up the body of Christ in the air. And that appears to be a contradiction to all the other scriptural evidence about the function of angels. Why would Michael the Archangel be coming back at the time when Christ catches us up into the air to be with him forever? Well, let's look at the scriptures, and we're going to close, but we'll get into this more tomorrow. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18, 16, 17, and 18, and 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That was a cough, excuse me. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, there's the angel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, whoever is part of that we that's alive at that time, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And that is comforting, isn't it? We do not have to go through what Daniel said is a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. A time of trouble is prophesied, it's for Israel, though. It's called Jacob's trouble, not the world's trouble, although it will be against those that ganged up on Israel, or that shall gang up on Israel. However, on close examination, we'll see that rather than to contradict the rest of the evidence, it actually confirms the principle that we've been seeing here, that the functioning of angels has only to do with Israel, not with the body of Christ. And we'll get into the reasoning for that next time, which would probably be a week from Monday, this coming Monday, 5 days or so. Any comments or questions?